Amen and amen. Let's open our Bibles back to Colossians chapter 1 this morning. And let me say this once again. I know I repeat myself. It is an honor and a privilege to be in the house of God, one that should never be taken for granted, one that we should not forget. And so I am thankful today to be here and trust that you are as well. Colossians in chapter 1, looking in verse 23 with me, the Bible says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Father in heaven, again we ask you, Lord, to please be with us this morning. Father, we pray that you would meet with us here for this short period of time, dear Lord, but I pray the words that are brought forth, dear God, today would not be soon forgotten, that this morning would not be just a blip on the map of our week or even our day. I ask you, Lord God, to bear witness upon our souls, upon our hearts, of this precious message, this precious word that we're going to preach today, this precious thought of the hope of glory, the only hope that we have, dear God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask all of these things today. Amen and amen. Beloved, our verses we're going to focus in on this morning out of verses 23 through 29 is going to be verses 27 and 28. And even so, primarily, verse 27 is where we see, is where we look, and where we find that Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. And this is the thought that I want to bring to you this morning. Is this hope of glory that is in your life and in my life today? Beloved, as we have seen in sermons past, that we were without hope. As Gentiles in this world, as people in this world, we were without any type of hope. Abraham, who had no hope unless the Lord would bear witness upon him. And remember, when you go back, Abraham, prior to that, was known as Abram. Abram is a Gentile name. He was a Gentile. His wife was a Gentile, Sarai, until her name was changed to Sarah. The word Hebrew comes from his great-grandfather, Eber, and that's how we find that descendants that go down. So we understand today that we as a people were without hope in this world, yet Jesus Christ is now our only hope. May I say this to you this morning, that he is the lifeline that pulls us from the drowning sea of sin. He is the staircase of which we are able to climb from the darkness of this life to the brightness of day. He is our carriage, which takes us from the blackest despair to the clearest of skies. Beloved, he is our hope of glory. Beloved, Jesus Christ is a jewel in the sand. He is the cure of the world's illness. He is our hope of glory. And without Christ, there is no hope in this world. There is no hope in this life. There is no hope in the life hereafter without Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. This is what Paul says following verse 27. And after he finishes verse 27, he goes into the next verse in verse 28 saying, whom we preach, he says, warning every man. What do you think Paul was warning every man about? He was warning them that there is no hope, for it is Christ who Paul was preaching. Our hope today is not found in the political arena. Our hope today is not found in the providence of Great Britain. But our hope today is not found in the preacher's ability. Our hope of glory is found in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. The old hymn reads, "My hope is found on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness." In our society today, we spend money in seeking pleasure and praise of mankind more than any other culture on the planet. Our people, guys, are up to their eyeballs in debt, continuing to spend on their self, on sin, on sensuality, and all for what? What are our people spending all of this money on? Well, the pleasure of sin for but a season. The sinful seasons will pass in one's life. It will fade away as does the flower. Then they must be off to the next sin, seeking some fulfillment in their life that will only be here but for a moment. The psalmist said of us, he said, "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Today, our culture, our society works to spend, and it spends to work for things that will have no eternal weight, no glory to the hope of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, Isaiah tells us this. Isaiah said in chapter 55, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." There is no hope outside of the life of Jesus Christ. He is our hope of glory, and that's whom we preach, warning every man, woman, and child in the world today. One of the things that I am thankful for, it's probably a two-edged sword, I should say, but I am thankful for with our technology in the world today, is that the glorious gospel can reach from end to end of this world today in less than the blink of an eye. Yes, it's a two-edged sword. Yes, the very convenience that we use to reach people in the world today and in our communities and even across the street also causes Christians to become lazy and to sit at home and not be convicted to come to the local church. Amen. Listen, I've got to say this and I'm going to move on. The internet is not the local church. Amen. The local church is right here. And I understand with sickness and tragedy, I understand when things happen. I understand that we're snowed in today. I understand all those things. And I even understand that should lockdown increase and the churches be closed yet again, we will go to the alternative method of worshiping together via the internet. I understand that. But when you take those perspectives out of the way, we should be in the house of God at the appropriate time. Again, beloved, there is no hope in this life outside of Christ. He is our hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man. So what do we warn man of today? What do we warn in people in our life? What do we warn in people in our world? What are we warning, as Paul said, of whom we preach, warning every man? First, may I say this today, that there is no hope found in the environment in which we live. Verse 27, the very first part, Paul says, here he says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery." Beloved, today we know that green is a popular color for business, and we understand that. We see companies advertising with it. They change their company colors to this lime green, and they do so with the sole purpose to appeal and to appease the environmental crowd. Not against the environment, guys. I am not for destroying our lands and seas. I mean, personally, I feel that if people would stop littering and pick something up off the floor and dispose of it properly, then we would live in a cleaner world. It's not very hard. I get tired of seeing trolleys from ASDA dumped into our rivers and dumped into our creeks up by our house. I get sick of that, of irresponsible people chucking down a can or chucking down a chip basket just on the pavement here of our lovely village. I get tired of that, and sometimes it gets up underneath my skin. And when children do it and parents do nothing about it, they are both equally guilty, amen. It's wrong. We need to tend to our immediate surroundings. If everyone would just have a little more personal responsibility in their life, in the presentation of our land, we would be better off. We would live in a cleaner village. But to think that mankind is more powerful than God, who created the world, and mind you, he created a resilient earth, that's absolute idolatry. To think that you and I contain the power to destroy God's creation, that's idolatry. No, you're not going to crank a car up and destroy this earth because you don't have that power. He's not going to let you. Amen. No, the methane gas from the cows in the state of Nebraska are not eating away the ozone layer. That whole idolatrous false science went the way of the dinosaurs when they found that ozone hole that was above the central of the United States of America. And they are blaming the cows, saying there's too many cows there. So that sent the vegans on their little trip. Then all of a sudden we find that ozone hole was gone. Well, guys, there's a reason there was a hole in the ozone. They call it greenhouse gases. How does a greenhouse work? Well, when the temperature gets too hot, what do you do with a greenhouse? You open up the top and you release some of the heat. That's all God was doing. That's all the earth was doing at that time. God knows what he's doing, my friend. We are not powerful, that powerful, if we think we are. Matter of fact, we find in Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, but because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into the birds and the four-footed beast, into creeping thing. Herein lies the problem, my friend. The world today has made the environment a god, one to worship as we move through the scope of time. That's all it is. Most of it is a scam, guys. Carbon credits, offsetting carbon footprints. Those are a scam, the biggest scam since the first pope. Modern society has made the surroundings in our life the hope of our future. Now keep in mind, I'm saying this with an asterisk. You should take care of your place. You should not litter. You should not throw dirt. You should keep your place clean. Just imagine today if we would just clean up what's around our personal, if everybody took a personal responsibility not to litter and to properly dispose of things, imagine what our world would be. It'd be clean, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be any less sinful. Wouldn't give you an eternal weight of glory. Wouldn't do anything but give you a clean place to live, and that's a good thing. But thinking that we can clean up what is around us, clean our environment up, and our lives would be better spiritually? No. I mean, you say, preacher, you're just wrong. I believe our scientists. Well, that's fine. You can believe your scientists. I'm going to believe the book and history. Amen? How do I believe that? Well, I can go to one person right now, one person, and find out if there's any hope in environment. And you know who that person is? Well, he's a man named Adam. You see, my friend, in Adam's days, there was no pubs, there was no alcohol, there was no divorce, there was no television, there was no Hollywood, there was no pornography, there was no crime, there was no petrol stations. My goodness, there wasn't even a petrol. There wasn't even an engine, mind you. When Adam was alive, it was a perfect environment. Without all these things. I mean, without all of these things in his life, with a flawless surrounding, a man who walked with God, he still fell. He still committed a sin and condemned everyone who followed. No, my friend, the hope of glory is not in the environment. It doesn't mean you should chuck it away. It doesn't mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it means you don't make it a god. Amen. So the answer today is not in the environment. Neither is the answer or the hope of glory found in entertainment. Paul says in verse 27 again, he says, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles? Paul said there was a mystery that Christ would be in you and I, the Gentile. It was a mystery not seen in times past, not even the beloved Apostle John or Peter, who saw the transfigured Jesus Christ and the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, who are coming back during the tribulation period. Listen, they didn't even see this mystery that Paul is speaking of. And remember, Peter received the vision on the rooftop in Acts chapter 10 after Paul's trip into Arabia, and still not see it, the mystery, as Christ gave it to Paul. The mystery was revealed, and the hope of this world is found in the one who died for the sins of mankind, by you, all of mankind. And yet we have a world today who is looking to entertainment of how they should dress, how they should act, how they should speak. As a matter of fact, men will take the pulpits this very day and they will mimic the way they speak according to what they have seen on the television or on the movie screen, certain actors and other people. You say, preacher, how do you figure that out? How do you think that the world is looking at entertainment? I mean, what do you think? Bailey and I got into this conversation yesterday, and I'm not going to say a lot of it. She's scared to death right now. We got into this conversation of fashion, of what is the fashions. And I started telling her about how fashions always come back around full circle, you know. And I remember even when I was in high school, when I was a young man, amen, I remember the styles even of the 40s were coming back. You know, this was 50 years later. And with some of the cargo type pants and the button down shirts and this and that, the casual look. And you look how fads continue to just kind of recirculate themselves, except for one era. And that's the ugliest era of all time, the 1970s. We don't even want to talk about that today. Amen. Just picking a little bit. But guys, people follow fads. You know what the problems with fads are? Is they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. It's like a fad diet. People get all cut up on a fad diet, and they stick to it for about 6 weeks, and then all of a sudden they go back to what they used to be. Why? Because it's a fad diet, not a lifestyle. And the same thing we find with entertainment. Entertainment loses its entertaining abilities once it remains the same. So they have to constantly change it up. Do you know on average, UK residents, we spend 227 and a half pounds a week on some form of entertainment in our life? Do you know that the UK household expenditure on alcohol has more than doubled to 19.9 billion pounds in 2017? It did. That's up from 9.3 billion in 1985. Why do you think people drink? People are drinking to entertain themselves, to escape the life they're in right now. It's nothing but a facade because it wears off, they're hungover, and you know what? Now they're miserable and they hate life even worse. Now they got a headache and their body's shutting down because they're putting a poison inside of it. What do? They run back to the bottle again to escape the reality, to entertain themselves for only a little season. You wonder why alcohol sales won't stop in order to stop this pandemic? Money. Oh, but preacher, they shut the pubs down. They made them. They ain't stopped it in the stores. And listen, you can't take stupid in the stores and put stupid in a home and expect two stupid people not to get together with one another. Do you understand what I'm saying today? I'm trying to tell you, if you really want to stop something, take some of the stupidity out of it. Well, that's when you'll put an end to something like this pandemic. What's even worse and what's even more sad, people are spending almost 228 pounds a week on some form of entertainment, but in our land alone, they only spend 8 pounds a week on their health. And 5 pounds, 8p a week on education. And we wonder why our world is going to hell in a handbasket. We wonder why our people are suffering from depression. We wonder why our people stand in despair. We wonder why people are doing the things that they're doing because they spend nothing on their health care, nothing on their education, and everything on entertainment in this world today. There is no hope in entertainment. The hope of glory is in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in you if you're saved and born again today. And there is no hope in entertainment. There's no hope in the environment. And I'm not saying that you should have no entertainment in your life. Don't get me wrong. We're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater this morning. But in reality, we need to make sure our entertainment is balanced. There are two sides of entertainment today. There's what's seen in the world and what is experienced in the church. It's a sad state of affairs when church buildings are filled with people to be entertained. Too much show and not enough go. It's a sad state of affairs when preachers feel that they have to bring all of the world's entertaining aspects and entertaining characteristics just to make the people feel good. I'm not a puppet on a string, and I'm not here to be an entertainer. I'm a preacher of God Almighty's word today, and that's what I'm going to preach, amen. That's what brought me to my knees when I was a young man and saved my soul. That's what convicted me to surrender to the call to preach. That's what drove me every single day to strive to do better and better and better. And when I would fall, it enabled me to get up and go, amen. I didn't put my trust in the entertainers. I didn't put my trust in the environment, which is here today, gone tomorrow. Youth today are trying to live up to their idols that they see online, these self-proclaimed influencers. This fast-paced lifestyle, which is offered by a godless group of hell-bound sinners, and our young people are locking into them. Jesus Christ said, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. That pearl that it's speaking of going before swine, that's not the word of God. So many people have misinterpreted that verse and misappropriated that verse, saying that, well, I'm not to go witness to the drunkard. I'm not to go witness to the sinner. That's who you need to witness the gospel to, amen. That pearl, as I told you Wednesday night, those precious jewels are souls. And too often, many a times, we find our souls of our young people who make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they are cast out. They're left alone, and the world grabs a hold of them, and they trample them under their feet. This is what happens when we place our hope in entertainment. The appetite provided takes the precious jewel of that soul, that pearl, and casts them before the swine of this world, only to turn upon the truth and turn upon the church in bitterness and anger. You look out there today at our young people who have turned their back on the house of God, who have turned their back on the word of God. They've done it because they've been enticed by the entertainment of this world. They've been enticed by the so-called pseudo-liberty and freedom of this world. And they've got out there and they found out that it's not as good, it's not as glory, but the church hasn't helped them. The church hasn't reached out to them. And what happens is they turn toward the church, and they turn bitter in anger, and they get trampled under their feet by the world, and they turn and they render the house of God and render the preachers and the word of God again. They tear it apart. Can I say this to you guys? There is no hope in the environment. There's no hope in entertainment. And I'll say this to you this morning. There's no hope in education. I'm not against education by any stretch of the imagination. I got more degrees than the thermometer. Most of you guys know that. I am not against education. But my faith is not on the degrees on my wall. My faith and my dependence, my hope is not resting in that which is sat behind my name. Paul says in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. Education is important. It plays a vital role in this life. It aids and it assists us in understanding as well as relaying the word of God to others. Personally, I feel that you should get all the education that you can get to help you better present the gospel to the souls in this world today. Absolutely. To be able to clearly speak to people the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as said education, as long as that education is not contrary to the Holy Scriptures. You see, my friend, there's some people out there that are intelligent, and very educated. They're only educated in useless garbage. They're educated in things that aren't helping them one bit. I sit down and talk to people all the time who tell me how smart they are. They tell me how intelligent they are. And they rifle off all these statistics and all this stuff that they've learned in the back alleys of the internet and everything they've saw on YouTube. I hear about all their education, and yet they're doing nothing with it. They started this and quit that. Guys, your intelligence is only good as to how you apply it. Your education is only going to be as good as what you do with it. But our hope cannot be placed in the door of education. Education is a means to give glory to Christ, not glory to man. Let me say that again. Education is a means to give glory unto Christ and not give glory unto man. The communist says education, education, education. You know what the cross says? Repent, repent, repent. Education is needed part of our life. A Christian education is the best education, which places the hope of glory in its proper place. Let me say these last two points this morning and I'll be finished. I'll say this, that our hope is not in the economy today. Our hope is not in the economy. Verse 29, if you look there in your scriptures, he says, wherefore I also labor. He said, striving according to his working. Some of the wealthiest people in all the world today are the most low-down scoundrels that you'll ever meet. I could rifle off four names off the top of my head, but I won't. And yet, some of the poorest people on this earth are the most precious. Riches doesn't make you any more spiritual. Neither does being poor or not having being less poor. None of those things should change who you are. But I can tell you this, you cannot trust and hope in the economy today. And it's true. There is no answer. There is no hope in our environment. There is no hope in entertainment. There is no hope in education. There is no hope in the economy. None of those things in and of themselves are bad. There's only one hope. The only hope that we have is in that which is eternal. That which is eternal. Back to verse 27 and 28. Watch and read this with me, if you will. To whom God would make known what is the riches, there's your wealth, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. There's the education, okay? The mystery among the Gentiles, there's your environment. The hope of glory, amen, there is your eternal, whom we preach. There's your education again. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Everything that we talked about today, the environment, all of the things that you need is lumped into those two verses, but they're placed in their proper order and directed toward the right person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote unto Ephesus saying this, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Beloved, there is hope in the cross this morning. There is answers. There are answers in Christ. The hope of glory. The hope of glory is the one who suffered and died on Calvary's hill. It is the Christian's hope in this life and in the next. But the Christian, in order to be one, must fall at the feet of this hope and put their life into the saving hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, we must place the environment, the entertainment, the education, the economy at its proper position in life and recognize the eternal, self-existing Christ and their proclamation of being called a Christian, one who is Christ-like. What will it take to do that? Well, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So does Christ live in you today? I mean, can you say that I'm not living, I live not at all, but for my Redeemer? Can you today call yourself a Christian and say that you are living solely to please Jesus Christ? You know, the hope of glory, He is our hope of glory today. He is our only hope of glory today. Now, preacher, guys, listen, you don't have to ruin the environment. You don't have to throw away your entertainment. You don't have to reject education. You don't have to ignore the economy. All of those things are not bad in and of themselves, but when you put them in the proper perspective through the eyes of the one that is eternal, the only one that is eternal, education, environment, economy, and the other one, I forgot what it was, those things will fall into the place where they need to be. Education is important. The economy is important. Environment is important. All of those things are important today. We need them. Entertainment, guys, do we need it? No, but we need a break at times. I understand that. Not against it. Put them in the proper place. As a Christian, and who a Christian is and what a Christian does, a Christian falls in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what I'm done after this nice little, this closing thought. A Christian falls in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, have you ever noticed something in your life, guys? When you fall in love with someone or something, do you know what? You begin to love the things they love. You do. Okay? Now, I fell in love with my wife. Head slap over heels in love with her. And there were things prior to she and I meeting one another 23 years ago that I could absolutely care less about. There were things I didn't care about. I mean, I promise you, if you were to come to my apartment when Denise and I married, I had about 3 pictures on the wall, okay? Now, when it came to an office, oh, I could deck an office out now. When it came to a business office, I could deck that out. It could look sharper. But my own place, I didn't care. I didn't care about decorations. I didn't care. I had 2 sofas in my apartment in there. One of them stank because I bought it at a yard sale. They were uncomfortable. They were unworthy to sit on, if you want to know the truth. I had that. I had a little entertainment center and a TV. I had some TV trays that my folks had bought me. And I had 1 picture on the wall. 1 little 8x10 picture on a big old wall. Didn't care about putting anything else up. You know what my wife loves? My wife loves to decorate. She loves to get things in their proper place. And she loves, I just enjoy organization. She likes it not to be organized, but she wants it to be pretty. And you know what I noticed over the years? Even as recently as like now, I noticed that, man, I start to enjoy the things that she enjoys. We tend to have the same taste on most things. You know, she loves to decorate. I never really cared. But you know what I found? I fell in love with her, and therefore I started loving things that she loves. And that's just a small little example. You fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to fall in love with what he loves. And you know one of the things that he loves? He loves people. He loves the brethren. He loves born-again, saved individuals. He loves the souls in this world today. The Apostle John wrote, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love, listen carefully, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." You see, why in the world would I throw that in there on the backside of this message, which is about the hope of glory, who is Jesus Christ, who is our only hope? Because if Jesus Christ is our only hope and we are saved and born again today, that means he's the only hope for every soul in this world today. Every soul that's in the environment today, every soul that's being entertained today, every soul that's being educated today, every soul that is part of the economy today, Jesus Christ is their only hope. And if you do not love them, the love of God is not in you. I want you to understand today, guys, that he's not just the hope of the saved. He's not just the hope of the chosen frozen, which doesn't exist. He's the hope of all mankind. And the soul is not going to come to know Jesus Christ outside of you and I presenting a precious gospel to them so that they too will fall in love with the only hope of this glory. And they too, my friend, will fall in love with others. You may wonder why in the world a message like this should be preached. Because Jesus Christ deserves the preeminence before all things in this world today, including ourselves. He deserves the preeminence. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this time and this opportunity. I thank you for allowing us to be together, one with another. And Lord, I pray, I realize it's cold, dear Lord, and it's gotten colder even toward the end of the service. Lord, I pray that the physical coldness, Lord God, would not even touch or overshadow the spiritual warmth that you have brought into our hearts today. And I ask of you to please take your precious word. That soul out there that has listened to this message who needs to make the changes in their life to fall in line with you, Lord, I pray that they would do so right now, Lord God. That you personally would convict them of their shortcomings, their needs, Lord, the place where they are, so they can fall in line with the hope of glory. So that they too would love the people in this world. That they too, dear God, would be touched. That their heart may be tendered. Thank you, Father, for who and what you are. Thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk this morning. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen. I hope and pray today that God has been good to you in the teaching and preaching of His Word. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I hope that He's made a difference with you today.